With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there. Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Travel writer Linda Kassam, known as the food, wine, and shopping diva, returned to Whidbey and Camano Islands in Washington State this year, and she met up with four exceptional leading ladies who are living out their dreams, leading their community, and inspiring the next generation as they share their special gifts and talents. Each step they take moves Whidbey's islands, economic and tourism forward to what success looks like. It's amazing. It's a community leadership style, and it's awesome. We're very excited to have Linda back on Big Blend Radio today, and all four of these rock star ladies join us to talk about tourism, community, and their business success stories. And this is all part of our Big Blend Radio Tourism Excellence series. Diva Linda, you know, she is a regular columnist here with Big Blend Radio and TV Magazine and Parks and Travel Magazine. She's also the president of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. In fact, their conference was held at Whidbey and Camano Islands this year. And we say she's a leading lady and a rock star, too. So if she finds other rock stars, it's because she's one herself. So welcome back, Diva Linda. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. I'm about ready to take off for a 10-week cruise on our boat. So I'm glad I'm getting this done and introducing you to four amazing women.
I'm excited about this. Nancy is too. We've been reading their stories, looking at their websites, and it's just, this is so exciting. And I know everybody, by the way, Diva Linda has written an amazing article about them. It will be featured in our August-September issue of Parks and Travel Magazine as part of our Tourism Excellence series. It will also be up, it's up right now. If you go to nationalparktraveling.com, you'll see it there. And you can also keep up with Diva Linda on her website, allingoodtaste.info. You know, Diva Linda, you know that we are always into sense of place, tourism and community, how that relationship has to happen. And we started a series on National Park Traveling and in our Parks and Travel magazine called Putting the I Back in Community, because success in tourism requires the input, the involvement and buy-in of people interested in the overall health and economy of their community. And wouldn't you say the story of these four ladies really goes with that? That saying of putting the I back into the community.
I will say that that's absolutely correct, because you and I over the years have been talking about, how, especially small towns, how do they make sure that the community isn't passed over for a vision that isn't true? So we're going to talk to Sherry a little bit about that, about staying true to the community you are and not making it something you aren't.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And being authentic, keeping that that integrity, right? The first key of excellence
is
integrity. Correct. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to introduce the four rock star ladies right now. We've got Sherry Wyatt, and it's good to have her back on. She is the PR and I was going to say park manager. My mind's in parks here. She's the PR and marketing manager at Whidbey and Camano Islands Tourism. And I encourage you to go to their website. It's such a beautiful destination. It's whidbeyandcaminoislands.com. Sherry, welcome back. How are you?
Yes, hello. And it would just be whidbeycaminoislands.com. You don't need to throw the and in there.
Okay.
Just go to whidbeycaminoislands.com and you'll learn all about us. I'm happy to be here today.
And am I saying Camano correctly yet? Because I remember going Camano.
Well, Camano, Camano, tomato, tomato. We say Camano. So we know when someone's from out of town, when they call it something else.
there you go. Hey, yay, that's the way it is. Can you give everybody, before I bring the rest of the rock star ladies on, just an overview of where Whidbey and Camano are, where the islands are for people to come out and visit?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are really only about 25 miles north of Seattle, and that would get you on the tip, the southern tip of Whidbey Island, where you would take a ferry. And the ferry is about a 15-minute crossing, and they go every 30 minutes. So you just jump in line, get on the ferry, come on board. And, you know, about 50-some miles long, one of the longest islands in the country. And the north end of the island is a bridge. That's Deception Pass State Park, which is the most visited state park in the state of Washington. And it's quite beautiful. And then on our other island, our sister island, is Kameno Island. And that's an easy, just drive on a bridge. There's no ferry, no line to wait. You just drive right on that island, and it's right to the east of us. Mm-hmm. And we're also connected to the Olympic Peninsula. So there's another ferry that leaves the island around the central part of Whidbey Island that will take you out to the Olympic Peninsula through Port Townsend. So, you know, it's kind of a nice little situation. We're about 2 hours from Vancouver, BC, and we're just, you know, about an hour north of Seattle.
Wow, that's amazing. A beautiful location. I love that you can go to Olympic Park from you pretty easy then too, right? To have that as your backyard.
Right. Nice. Yeah, nice. Yeah. We're sort of, we say we're kind of in the middle of everywhere.
We like that. And that's the thing. That's, I think, what makes a destination is when you are the hub and you can explore other areas but come back as you know, Whidbey being the hub. I want to bring our next guest on, Karen Krug. She is the owner of Spoiled Dog Winery. Go to their website, spoileddogwinery.com. You can't beat that name. Welcome, Karen. How are you?
Fine. Just great. Beautiful
day
today. Sunny. Yeah.
Well, I think you always have beautiful days in Whidbey, right? That's what I've heard. It's always beautiful. You know, we want to bring the next lady on, Judy Feldman. She is the executive director of Organic Farm School. I love this. And you can go to their website, organicfarmschool.org. Welcome, Judy. How are you?
I am fabulous. I'm just in from the field where the students are out harvesting for our community-supported agriculture program.
I love that. I love that. Oh, okay. We're going to get into what you're growing and all that good stuff soon. Got to hear about the wine. But now it's time for some chocolate because we like to start with chocolate. We've got Mona the Nun Neubauer. She is the owner of Sweet Mona. Go to sweetmonas.com. How are you, Mona?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk to you ladies. I'm looking forward to a fun conversation. And then after you leave, you should just go buy chocolate and wine.
Okay.
And
okay.
Vegetables.
Yeah, that's the balance. That's the perfect balance, I think, you know. Linda, I wanted to say, you know, you chose these four ladies. You know, as I said at the beginning, you're the diva. You know rock stars. You go around the country and around the world going diva approved, stamped on things, and if you're not approved, you never hear anything from the diva.
Time out. Yeah.
Now you sat down, you had an interview with them, and how did you decide on these four ladies?
Well, interestingly enough, I had met these ladies before on a press trip as a group, so not as an individual, but as a group. So I saw each one before, and then when I decided to do an article for Whidbey Island, I thought to myself, you know, there's so much talent here, I can't believe it. And then I thought, ooh, let's just do the women. And then I sat down with Sherry, and I said, Sherry, you know, you have so many here. These are the ones that I love. Can you tell me which ones you think would gel in this particular article? So actually, Sherry was the one that did the final roundup of ladies. And as it turned out, you know, I wanted one from agriculture. I wanted one from wine. I wanted a tourism person and one that had some sort of very interesting backstory. That's Mona. And as it turns out, you know, it was good. I don't know, somehow it was the best pick ever. So thank you, Sherry, because Sherry was also the one that helped make this work.
My pleasure.
Well, she's the spokesperson, you know, she knows her town. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It's interesting in your article on them, you gave them each like their word, who they are. And we'll start with Sherry. You said she's the organizer. Does that mean she has a whip?
Pretty much.
Well, not exactly. It's more of a velvet touch, right?
There you go. There you are.
gentle nudging, corralling. And so tell us about this, because it's really looking at sustainable tourism for Whidbey, right, Sherry?
Right. Well, one of the reasons we think people come here, and they've told us again and again, is because of it's just such a slower pace. It's just natural beauty. It's sort of almost a step back in time. And so in order to preserve that, you have to be pretty, you know, vigilant about that, or you will be paved over and, you know, condo covered, and because of the amazing, beautiful scenery here. So we worked pretty hard to retain our authenticity, stay genuine to who we are. And we've achieved it. And it's quite it's quite an accomplishment. And, you know, we continue every day. Part of one of my other hats that I wear is I am the film liaison for the county. Mm-hmm. So I work directly with Hollywood and production companies and catalog shoots. So I was just on the phone before this call talking to a very well-known retail company who's going to do a fashion shoot here on one of our beaches. And, you know, those things wouldn't happen if we didn't just keep taking care of what it is that people love about us. So that's what I focus on every day. I have other meetings similar like this today, where we'll be talking about the very same thing. So it doesn't happen by accident. It's a constant conversation that we're having throughout our communities.
I like that. And I think, you know, that's the thing, is it's that sense of place, right, Linda, that we always talk about. If you go to a place and it looks exactly the same as another place, there's no point.
That is correct. That's right. Yeah. No, and I think Sherry had a really good quote. I really like her quote is, so talking about how do you do tourism, and what is tourism, and how do you make your place, how do you promote tourism and all that sort of stuff? Because Lisa and I both know that if you don't keep a hand in it and you don't have a vision for what you want, it's not going to come out well. So Sherry's quote is, be who you are. We do not need to change for visitors. This is a very interesting quote, because Lisa, you and I know that some have done that. We do not need to create things so people will come. We need to strategically promote what we have. I think, gosh, isn't that what we've been saying, Lisa, forever?
Be who you are. Yes, absolutely. And preserve it. You know, you can clean up your identity by going, hey, we're going to add some more green space or something like that. But it really is about who you are, that authenticity. I know people traveling now, they want to have the real experience. And it's the way for them to learn, you know, history. When I think about Whidbey's incredible history, I mean, I want to come out. I'm a park lover, nature lover, you know, all of that. Wine, chocolate, organic farm food geek, love it all. But there's this other part that is about keeping the history. And as soon as we start losing those pieces of history, then your identity really goes away. So I think it's really part and parcel of the green space and the history space, and for people to learn about it. When they're on vacation in a place that has kept its sense of place, people start to learn history in a way that's different than in school, where they say, you will learn these dates. You know what I mean? Sherry, have you seen that happen at Whidbey?
Right. And you know, a couple things come to mind immediately. The words of my mother were coming out when you were saying that, be who you are, because I know she told me that over and over, and it's okay to not change who you are just to fit into a group or, you know, to dress a certain way. I was a farm girl, you know, I grew up on a farm, and, you know, have continued that sense of who I am. And I think that's the same with the islands. And we do want to make it accessible. So we do want to make sure people have a chance to dive into history or to eat the local food. So so later today, I'm headed up to Deception Pass State Park, and we're doing a sunset canopy climb. So a company here on the island is just taking people up trees. So we're going to be, you know, 20 stories up on a Douglas fir. There's no harm done to the tree. It's extremely safe. They're even offering now a canopy climbing academy. So you could come here and, you know, have a 2 or 3 day course where you learn the basics of canopy climbing and get a strong foundation. So you could even do this on your own, climbing trees, just like you would be climbing rocks. But I guess the point I'm making is that, you know, it doesn't mean that we don't want to dive in and enjoy what we have. We do want people to experience it, but we just want to retain and not disrupt it and leave it better than we found it. You know, don't change everything. Don't build a big, water park or something in the middle of a beautiful forest, but instead just get into the forest the way it is meant to be seen.
I love that. You know, our Tourism Excellence series is based on the 8 Keys of Excellence, which is a character education program for families. It's a free nonprofit program. Everyone, 8keys.org, check it out. And we use it in our tourism seminars as we travel because you can't just look at educating kids. You've got to look at having a dialogue between the business leaders, the schools, the kids, the community as a whole. And so this is how we look at tourism. It's the community of all ages, and everyone has to be part of that vision. And so the first key of excellence, Diva Linda gave you your superwoman power title. I'm going to give you your key of excellence title. So Sherry, you get integrity. And in regards to integrity on our tourism side, it is integrity, provide a sense of place, define your community identity, and showcase its positive values. So I'm giving you that key.
I'm very honored. Thank you. Yes. I'm very honored, and I will accept that. And thank you very much.
I like that. So now, Diva Linda, we're going over to the wine side of the world. We're going to play Spoiled Dogs, and we're going to and everybody, let me give the website out again. Would be CamanoIslands.com, and that's CamanoIslands.com. Did I get that right, Sherry?
You've got it right. Yes.
Cool. I'm getting there. it's always easier if you've been to the destination.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know what the heck you're talking about. That's the thing. Once you go. So I'm just saying, we're hopefully going to be out there next spring. Anyway, Karen Krug, who's the owner of Spoiled Dog Winery. Again, her website is SpoiledDogWinery.com. And Diva Linda, you said her superwoman title is a superwoman power title, I should say, is teacher.
Yep. So as I was talking to her, she kept coming up with ideas. So I asked each one of them to tell me a little bit about the past, what they're doing now, and what they'll do in the future. And hers always seemed to come up with teaching other people, being inclusive of other people. And the way she does that is so interesting. Karen was the farm tour, the very first thing you did to get people connected to one another.
Yes, it was. That was back 2004, I think. Yeah. When it started.
And go ahead.
It was before people had really connected on the island, what other people were doing. We had the farmers markets, but not a lot of other things. So this was just to let people be aware of all the different things, from animal raising and, you know, doing fiber and growing vegetables and everything else that happens on this island, to just open it up so people could see what everyone was doing and kind of collaborate with everyone with that.
This Linda. Yeah, I think the word collaboration, I think that spills over into what Sherry does. And it's a word that I heard from all four of our ladies today. But I think you're onto something really, really special in that trying to connect everyone, all of the people on the island, the business people, and then letting tourists or locals actually come in and
and connect as well. Very, very interesting, I think. After the farm tour, was there another event that you did?
I was focusing on our wine growing grapes during that farm tour too, as well. And that's another place where we really connect with so many people, because they'll come on the island and they'll see our name and come over and, you know, have to drink some wine, and we'll tell them all the really awesome things there are to do on the island, because we have really just a wonderful community of people. We have artists, and we have glass blowers, and we have the natural beauty. I mean, we've just got a lot of different things, so we kind of feel a little bit like a travel guide when people come in.
I like that.
Tell us a little bit about the grapes that you grew, because they're not something that one would think would be on Whidbey Island, and the success that came with it. This is your innovative side. You're teaching others,
sure,
I think, to think outside the box.
Sure. So when we moved to Whidbey Island back in 2003, the purpose was to grow grapes, and I really like red wine. And really the wine that people know is Pinot Noir that grows well in this kind of cooler climate. We're on the same latitude as Burgundy, France, so it works out really well for us. Anyway, but researching that, there had been a lot of changes over time with Oregon doing a lot of research of how to grow them and, grafting on rootstock, how do you space them, many different things that we researched, my husband and I, quite extensively, and then planted our grapes with kind of the newest thinking at that time. And it has turned out to be quite successful. Our first vintage was 2007, and in 2009 we'd gotten a double gold for our estate Pinot, and we just this year got platinum, which is any wine that's won a gold or double gold in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, or BC gets rejudged at this competition. And so in January platinum's above a double gold. So that was against the Oregon Pinot, which we really felt very honored for. And it kind of put Whidbey on the map, because people hadn't really been convinced that, you know, Pinot Noir is something to grow here. So it's kind of nice. We've had a couple other people start some vineyards for Pinot. I'll be getting some of their grapes this fall, because it's about their third year, so they're about ready to come on. So it's kind of fun to see that kind of grow. We've had a lot of the wineries. We have other wineries on the island as well. We do a variety of different types of wine, but I of course focus on the Pinot part.
Hey, I'm with you on that. Can I come in?
Yeah, no, sure. Absolutely.
You know, and yeah. I just want to say, when you go in and do something that is different, I think that you're taking a huge, you know, risk in people's eyes. And so there's like a commitment that has to go behind it. But I just think it, when you go into something like farming and agriculture and growing the grapes and then making the wine, that's really a big endeavor. That's just not that easy. You know, so many people have those dreams and visions of opening wineries, but Linda, like we've talked over the years, right? This is not just that, oh, I'm going to open a winery today and la, la, la.
Yeah, our friends, we moved from Colorado, they kept saying, do you have any wine yet? No, it's still growing. Do you have any wine yet?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, finally we make it. Do you have some wine yet? No, it's in the barrel, has to age. Do you have any wine yet? I mean, it was like probably 7 years before we really came out with our first wine. So you definitely have an investment, and you spend a lot of time and money and energy on it. And I think it's important that you learn how grapes grow, and then you really appreciate all the things that go into that. So if we also purchase grapes. Actually we have a dedicated acreage on the other side of the mountains that grows all Bordeaux type and Rhone and those types of grapes. But then I'm very picky about what I'm doing when I'm sourcing grapes, because I know exactly what we do organic. We're very sustainable in everything we do. So very earth friendly. So that sort of a focus is so important to me, because everything that gets sprayed on a grape goes in your wine, and you aren't rinsing grapes when you make wine. So if you don't want some pesticide in there in some form or other chemical in your wine, you probably want to be careful about where those grapes come from. So that's, we're very careful about our grapes and how they were grown and what happens to them and how we treat the earth here as well.
I love that. I love that. You know what your key of excellence is? Flexibility. Be willing to do things differently. Recognize what's not working and be willing to change your plan of action to achieve your community goals and vision. This is if you're looking at the community.
Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is my third career just with flexibility. I had engineering and I'm actually a registered engineer and then a lawyer.
Wow.
And I practiced internationally and then wine and grapes. So I'm very flexible. And very use the left brain, right brain things to think about any problems or issues that come up with doing our business, you know. Yeah.
And now I'm thinking I have to change our song that's at the end of the show. We've got a Lawyered Up song. We could be playing that. I have a really good special song for you. Yeah, I know. Hey, having that kind of brain for law stuff and all those little fine print thingies, that's a good quality to have and an important
one.
It
is. We're quite regulatory, so it comes in handy.
Good.
Yeah.
I want everyone to have your website again, spoileddogwinery.com. And, you know, we were talking about agriculture and sustainability, and our next rock star lady, Judy Feldman, is the executive director of Organic Farm School. So go to organicfarmschool.org /from-the-field. And this is great. Diva Linda, her superwoman power title is the Farm to Fork Integrator. That's a good word. Integrator. I feel like that should be like a t-shirt or something. Well, I suppose t-shirt.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? Diva. I'm the integrator. Oh, that'd be funny. I might do that.
I like it.
Well, the reason I wanted to select Judy, and I know that Sherry was right there with me, was because she used her contacts to get to success. And I think it just reminds all of us that all the people you meet for a reason. And when it's time, so be kind, but the story of how she went from one, she'll tell it, but it's to me, it's just, I thought, using your contacts in a wonderful way to get to what you need. Just so she integrated all of what she'd learned before she took on this project and moved forward with it because of her contacts. Just love it. I just think it's a great story.
Thank you very much. You know, integrator fits well, but another term that I actually like is pollinator.
Pollinator? That's a good one.
Much of what has happened in the past for the Organic Farm School is taking something from one part of the so-called field and making sure that it gets distributed and shared and is open to everybody. So I'm like a little bee.
Ooh. Yes, you are. Okay. Tell us a little bit. Yeah. How did you come to the farm school, and why in the world did you take something that was failing? and no bank account and all these things. Huge things, blocks in your way. I mean, really, it just, and I guess you just took it on and away you went. But tell us why you would do that.
Well, I did it because success is not a static thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because something is failing today doesn't mean it's going to be failing tomorrow. And just because it's succeeding today doesn't mean it's going to be succeeding tomorrow. So there's nothing wrong in taking on something that's not working very well. That's where you get creative, and that's where you get to lean on the shoulders of your community to come up with what they need, and then things become possible. So in 2011, I took on the job as the executive director with what was then the Green Bank Farm Management Group, and that was the umbrella under which the Organic Farm School was operating. And it had had some struggles with grants that had come and gone, and funding wasn't secure, and it was hard to recruit students from all over the country, and the future definitely was not certain, and it was not a thriving program, but it was working. So we all knew that there was something there that was worth perpetuating, and there was enough feedback, again, from our community that it was a welcome part, and that there was something there that was making us as Whidbey more us as Whidbey. So you don't give up on those things. So we made it through that hurdle, and then we were presented with another one that caused us to need a new home. And there were an awful lot of my friends who at that point said, why are you doing this? Read the signs. And I said, well, I am. There's something here that is really working. Our students are graduating and they're farming. They're buying farms, they're managing farms, they're teaching about farming, they're organic certifiers. This thing's working. So somehow we're going to find a home. That was in 2015. At the end of 2015, we were about a month away, just a month, from having to shut down our nonprofit because we hadn't found that home. And then again, community comes in through somebody I knew who knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody. I was introduced to the owners of this amazing piece of property. And by the time I actually met them in person, they had fully vetted who I was and who we were and what our track record was. So when I got out of my car expecting to make a really hard sell for why we were wonderful and we would make a great addition to their property, he said, well, let me show you what we got. Let's see if something can work out. So that was at the end of January. By April, we had a 10-year lease contract with these people, with Ron and Ava Scherer, who are very involved in the Seattle scene. So community works. Community is what rocks. Yes, ladies, we rock, but it's community that rocks.
Yeah, if you work together. Yeah, yep. Absolutely. And I think this is so good because the educational component is such a part of it. Without education and without purpose, there's nothing, really, nothing moves forward in the world.
Absolutely.
And I think that goes really, when you know, just talking about the wine and the organic side of that too, you know, then looking at, you know, a farm school, that's another form. Education is a form of sustainable tourism, good, healthy, sustainable tourism. It really is. And so I just, you know, wanted to touch back to Sherry here real quick, because when you look at the vision for Whidbey and really keeping it sustainable, because you're on an island, you can't afford to mess up on islands. You really can't. This part of it, this sustainability, these organic practices, that really goes with the vision, right?
It does. And, you know, some of these opportunities when people come to visit us, often they are taking a class or they are enrolling in the organic farm school or, you know, taking a class that Mona will probably talk about her chocolate making. And you can certainly help Karen with harvesting grapes. And it's an interactive island that way. And I think that keeps it kind of vibrant and exciting for visitors.
I think so too. People want that educational component. Linda, that's the thing you look for all the time. You know, when you were traveling as travel writers, we want to learn something. We want to know, you know, and then afterwards have a glass of wine and go, we learned something today. Yay. And then have some chocolate. But everyone, again, go to organicfarmschool.org. And I want to give your key of excellence, Judy. Mm-hmm. I have to give you this key. And the thing is, you ladies, you all belong to all keys of excellence. And I could just give you the whole set. We'll do that on the next show. yours, I have to, because of your commitment to take something that was seemingly in a rough spot and be a success with it and a continued success. And when you talk about success is not a one-time thing, that's when you really step from success into excellence, because excellence becomes a way of life. It's a series of successes and commitment to that. And so your key of excellence is a second key. It is failure leads to success. And in the tourism side of it,
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We say make lemonade. View negative community attributes as opportunities to enhance, improve, and enrich. And I think that's exactly what you're doing with your school. And for the land, you're enriching as a bee, a busy one.
We are enriching, and thank you very much. Whatever comes that doesn't seem like success is actually a teacher.
So. Absolutely. That's the whole point. It's your lessons. I love this. Oh, I love this. Diva Linda, you did good again.
Yeah.
That's good.
There you go.
Now, time for some chocolates. We're going to Sweet Mona's. Go to sweetmonas.com. And Mona Neubauer is here. And Diva Linda gave her the superpower, the superwoman power title of Rocky. Ooh, that means she does get to have a cool t-shirt. So, tell me about this. She's Rocky with a chocolate, so she may punch you and give you a chocolate later. You better get some wine in there as well.
Well, I can see that. This woman was amazing. I was exhausted, honestly, after interviewing her because of all the things that she went through, but she went through with grace, humor, obviously. I hope to be able to use the picture when she was looking for investors. She dressed up as a nun and went out in the street and held up her sign. And I mean, I think the signs, what did the sign say, Mona? It said,
Sweet Mona's Chocolates. There is none better.
Seeking an angel.
N-U-N.
So she dresses up as a nun. And you know, these are the things that you do to get to where you want. But she has a really, really interesting story. And I think most people after two or three knockdowns would just say, you know, that's it for me. But she had a really strong vision of what she wanted to do and where she wanted to go. And once again, her community, there's somebody in the community that she was finally able to work with. But she'll tell you that story. But it was so inspired by her, and she just kept punching her way through whatever needed to be punched through to get to where she is now. Let's also talk about her vision, what she wants to do next, which I think is fascinating.
Mm. So you're
wow.
I know she's on a whole thing here. So, number one, I just want to ask you real quick, because I know you were searching for an angel investor, but what was it? Why did you want to go into chocolate?
Well, I really didn't want to go into chocolate. It came quite a surprise. It was a surprise. I'm one of those folks that I just believe that when, you know, somebody knocks on the door, you should open it, go into the room and see what it's all about. And quickly what happened was my son was working at the bakery, and he was at home one night. He heard my husband and I talking about chocolate, how we grew up with chocolate, how, you know, memories came from chocolate, that, you know, at every holiday you got chocolate. And it was just a wonderful thing. And I didn't really think we had that here. And he took that little conversation and thought I wanted to make truffles. And he went to the bakery and he said to the owners of the bakery, "My mom wants to make truffles for the bakery." And I'm like, okay. So he came home. He's all excited. You know how kids are. They're just, you know, everything is exciting. Everything is possible. And he thinks everything is possible. So he says, Mom, you know, they want you to make truffles for the bakery. And I stood there like a deer in headlights, you know, like I didn't even know how to spell truffle. Is that L-E or E-L? I don't know. Let's see. But I really think that, you know, it was just opening the door. And so my husband got online looking for a chocolate supplier, and I got online looking for recipes. He actually called Venezuela to get back to Seattle to find a distributor. And I just figured that, you know, it's kind of like a cookie recipe. Why not? You know, if it's a wet ingredient, we'll change it out. If it's a dry ingredient, we'll change it out. It was crazy. And we found this company. We got our first shipment of chocolate supplies from a company out of Seattle. The distributor actually met the sales rep met me on the side of the road. He popped his hood and he showed us the chocolate, and I popped my wallet and I showed him the money, and we traded. And he said to me, you know, Mona, it's really easy to make truffles. Truffles are easy to do. It's just one part cream, one part chocolate. Start there and you'll be fine. And so I did. For 3 days in my kitchen at home, I made truffles. It took me all, I'd say 12-hour days, so 36 hours to make like 120 truffles. I'm like, there's no way this is going to work. I'm going to have to charge $20 a piece for these truffles. But anyway, I took my truffles. I think maybe I had 5 or 6 flavors at the time. And I walked them into the bakery and I handed them to the owner of the bake shop. And she started giving them out with lunch. She started giving a truffle out with lunch that was purchased. And then she started selling them a little bit on the side. And then there was another person in the community, in the village that I'm in, and she saw them in the bakery, and she came to me, she said, you know, I really like those truffles. Let's try to put them in a box. And I'm like, oh, heck yes. I can put them in a box. How hard can that be? Let's put them in a box. So I found a place where I could find my little boxes, and I stuck them in a box, and I gave them to the gift store, you know, and she was really a smart woman. I mean, she loved the truffles. So every day she opened a truffle and ate it. You know, she ate it. And one day, I am sad to say, she called me and she said, there's mold in the truffle. And I went, oh, you know, my face went all green. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? It's, you know, I've got to figure this out. So I knew that, you know, at that point I had to figure it out. So I was working full time downtown Seattle. And I knew I couldn't just quit my job to do truffles. I mean, I obviously didn't know anything about truffle making anyway. So I found this class out in Vancouver, BC, online. So I took an online training class for about truffles. And I also started calling around people. I called Shock Torres. And, of course, I got the secretary. And, you know, he says, you know, he couldn't help me. It's just proprietary information, you know. And this is what I found with everybody I called. I'm sorry, I can't help you. And I mean, this is just the nature of the business. They, you know, they're protecting what they have worked hard to grow, and I respect that. So I knew, though, I had to get in some way. So I found these groups. I found the Retail Confectioners International, the Fine Chocolate Industry, Northwest Chocolatiers Guild, and I joined all these groups, and I started going to all these meetings, and I started learning more and more and more. Still working full time. Still trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I told Linda at one point in our conversation that while I was at work, I'd go in early and I do something that I call walk the table. And that all that means is that I took the time, like 30 minutes in the morning, to think about where I was going, what I was doing, did I really want to do it? And I figured it out as I went along. And I still do that. If I find a problem, or if, you know, I get a challenge, I really think it's important to take that time to go within and try to figure it out and then go without and talk about it in the community. I started by, you know, to get where I'm at by really just talking about it in the community. Once I got going, I got a kitchen. I got, you know, I started going to the farmer's market. I started asking people, you know, what do you want to see? What would you like to see? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I'm thinking about opening a shop. Where should I open it? And because this is where I get, you know, you get the answers from out in the community. And I think that's been said before in this conversation is that give the people what they want. I think actually that's really what you're trying to do all along. Wouldn't say that, you know, I wouldn't say that I am the greatest chocolatier here, but I, you know, here in the world, but I would say that I am tenacious and I am persistent. And I don't give up. And and because of that, I try to tell people my belief in that, that I want people to know that, you know, not to quit. They could be right on the edge of success and just not know it yet. Keep going. Don't quit. You've got it in you. And I think that's what Whidbey does for us too, is you get off the boat, you come onto Whidbey Island, and it's got this energy. It's got this specialness. It's got this you can do it type attitude. It's got, you know, like people don't want to leave once they come here.
Why should they? Yeah, you know, now I've got the perfect key of excellence for you.
For the community. The perfect one?
This is a full on, like, okay, so your key on the tourism side, the key of excellence for you is commitment. Make your community vision happen. Take consistent positive action to maintain your community identity and to fulfill its vision. See? commitment.
I'll accept that. I'll accept that, yes. that community key, and I thank you for it.
You're welcome. I didn't create these. but no, well, we worked on them as a tourism part, but the 8 Keys of Excellence individually, the commitment key is awesome. It really, I think that all of you belong with that key as well. And I think that's what's so interesting about these Keys of Excellence is they really do rub on to everybody. I do want to say, you know, listening to your stories and hearing about Whidbey and also, you know, learning about Whidbey from Linda being on the show and Hillary and Sherry being on the show, Alan being on the show from the International Food Wine Travel Writers Association. And I want to say that about IFTWA, the International Food Wine Travel Writers Association. That's a community. And I think what's so successful is that commitment key. And I've got to say this because Diva is the president and she's on the show. But it is, but that's the thing. That's what makes IFTWA so successful is it's a network of people of, you know, businesses, CVBs, individual travel writers, food writers, photographers, and it's this network of everyone coming together that makes it successful, and it's just like a community like Whidbey, and I have a key for Whidbey. Sherry, you're going to have to take it. All of you collectively take the key. It is. This is good. It's the 8th key of excellence. It's when, you know, in life, we think balance, you really go for what you believe in 100% and more. And once you really are on that path and you're living your purpose and your mission, things start to fall in place. And you don't let negative things in because you're in that zone. And so Whidbey gets the key is balance. Build a sustainable and responsible community. Consider everything that's meaningful and important to your community and steadily grow with that vision. And I think that's what Whidbey's done. Wouldn't you say, Linda?
Oh, absolutely. That was a really, really good one. Yeah, I think that encompasses all the stories we heard today and the commitment from all the ladies. And I think it was Judy that told me, you know, there's a lot more people out here that are driving Whidbey Island, but a lot of them, or most of them, or a majority of them, are women. So that's another conversation and how that happens and stuff. But you know, women balance things, and this is a community of balance. Good choice. Good choice.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this. And the sustainable part of it too, keeping your green space and doing organic and, you know, chocolate and wine and really fresh vegetables and cooking schools and cooking, gardening, farming, you know, classes, all of this is awesome. I do have a couple quick questions for each of you, including you, Diva Linda. You don't get off the hook on this at all.
All righty.
Okay, so I want one short tip for someone coming into your career, just getting started. What is one thing that you say do or do not do? So let's start with you, Sherry. Someone coming into the PR and marketing of a destination, what is a do or do not do for someone just getting started?
Do listen. Do listen before you start offering advice and encouraging people to change who they are. Listen and absorb and spend time with people in their own communities to understand why a visitor would want to visit there and what kind of visitor to attract. So that would be my advice. Don't just dive in there giving lots of advice. Listen first.
I like that. I like that. That goes with the speak with good purpose key of excellence. Yes, I like that. Karen, over at Spoiled Dog Winery, the wine lady, what is your tip for someone to do or do not do getting into the world of wine?
I would say quality. Never compromise quality, and it has to be your first priority for your wine. Once you've gone off of that, you lose your reputation, everything. So quality is absolutely key.
I like that. Judy, at the Organic Farm School, Judy, a do or do not do when you decide to take over a farm and start teaching?
Eat well. Eat well and really pay attention to the experience, what it is like to actually be able to eat something that you have watched grow. And then connect with people in their experience of eating, because that's where everything else comes from. We all eat. We all eat.
Mona, let's eat chocolate.
Well, if you're going to ask me specifically about chocolate, don't do it. It's hard work. No, I'd say the advice that I have today is you win or lose with a business plan. Have a good business plan, whether it's chocolate, whether it's gifts, whether it's wine, whether it's no matter what it is, you win or lose with the business plan. So I mean, that's my advice that I give is, and talk to the community about, you know, where you want to go. You'll find this in your business plan, but they ask you to look at your competitors, to look at the people around you, you know, who's going to influence you and making your business successful or not. So that's my advice, win or lose with the business plan, do a good one.
This is Judy here. We tell our students the same thing. Have a plan, have a business plan, think it through, talk it over with people.
I agree. You got it. Otherwise, you don't have a vision. You're just flip-flopping around and working on emotion. You know, you're running on that without that, right? You know, it's the split of the brain. You need to use both sides because that's why we have two of them. You know, so that's like, I like the plan part. Diva Linda, now you do get a key of excellence, you know, as a travel journalist. Of course. And this is a thing that you do, and this is a perfect example. This conversation and this article on the Rockstar Women of Whidbey is you get the speak with good purpose key because speak with good purpose is be positive, keep your community story and all communications positive. And that's one thing Diva Linda does. When she goes out, she finds the positive attributes, the smallest, tiniest little detail to like, oh, wow, look at this monster, the cool thing. You know, she finds things that are unique. And she speaks about communities positively. And if they're not, like I said earlier, they don't get the stamp of approval. Well, she just doesn't talk about them. She just goes, well, no, not so much. That's her thing, not so much. And that's that. She moves on. But she finds stories that are unique and showcases the people in them. And I think it's been interesting. Nancy and I have had the pleasure of traveling with her. And she's always like, well, what does success mean to you? She's always looking for what is that purpose inside someone. So that's your key, Diva Linda.
I like it. I'll take it.
On that, Diva, I'm not going to get away with this. You have to give us a tip for anybody, an emerging travel writer, a do or a don't.
It's a do, and it's the do is networking. You've got to network in order to be successful in this business, and one of the ways you do that is to join a professional organization. You can find your mentors, you can find your answers, you can find your encouragement, your motivation if you join a professional organization. There's three out there that you can join. In particular, I like mine, which is the International Food, Wine, and Travel Writers Association. I'm the president, as you said. But, you know, you have to have a network of support. You just have to. And you have to. Sometimes people have to learn how you do that, and others are just naturally good at it. But join a professional organization, get out there and network, and use those contacts to move forward.
Absolutely, and that goes with any industry, really. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
It really does.
I agree.
Okay, so my last fun question. This is happy hour time. You know, we love happy hours. And we got a winemaker on the show, so let's have a happy hour because Whidbey Island looks like a good happy hour destination. But it's really also about if you could sit down with anybody and pick their brain, who would it be? Or someone you just want to have that conversation with when we're looking at profession, tourism, your industry. So happy hour, I want to know from each of you, who do you want to spend happy hour with? And they could be alive. They could be passed on. It, you know, doesn't matter. It could be a fictional character from a movie. Doesn't matter. So who, where are you spending happy hour? Of course, we want to know what you're drinking. And then I want to know, what are you going to talk about? So let's start with you, Sherry.
Oh, no. You're not going to start with me because it's David Cassidy.
Wow, I did not see that coming. I think that's the first David.
He was my first love, and I would sit down with him and ask him about his career, his life, and learn from him all that he learned from the fame and the pain, and just someone who rose and fell. And I just think he's a fascinating person. So I know that sounds shallow, but there you go. That's what came to
it's
mind.
It's not. Everybody's got this story. And you know what? There's always lessons in there, like we were saying. Like failure leads to success, right? Life lessons are good and growth. But where's happy hour taking place and what's on the menu, the cocktail or the wine menu?
Oh, you know, we're probably going to be at Frazier's up in Oak Harbor, and we're going to have a big glass of red Pinot from Spoiled Dog Winery.
Sounds good to me.
We're going to have, get him back from heaven down here to have a glass of wine with me.
Cool. Everybody, again, WhidbeyCaminoIslands.com is the website. Let's go to Karen over at Spoiled Dog Winery, again, SpoiledDogWinery.com. Karen, who are you spending happy hour with?
You know, I would spend it with Oprah Winfrey. And the reason is she's always been intriguing to me how successful she was with so much challenge in her life. And so I just find her very fascinating. And I would love to, and I'm sure she would be very fun to have happy hour with as well.
And she should go to Whidbey. We want her in Whidbey.
Yeah, she just bought a place up in Orcas, and she really made a big mistake there. But should have been Whidbey, but oh well.
So what are you having to drink with her? I heard she likes tequila, but what are you going to have to drink with
her? No, it's got to be wine. It's got to be wine. Probably our Pinot. Probably our Pinot.
And you'd bring her to the winery? She's got to come visit at the winery?
Yeah, because we're very northwest. Yeah. When people come here, that's the one thing they say. This is what they think of as a typical northwest winery. We're not, Italian or French or anything like that. We're just northwest, so very normal place. Mm. Yeah, I think that would be fun.
And you may end up on her favorite things list, you know? I'm just saying.
Right. Well, I don't really want to do that. We'll get too many people.
I just want to talk to her. That's it. I just want to talk to her.
That's it. Not with anyone else knowing she's here.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Judy over at the Organic Farm School, and the website again is organicfarmschool.org. Everyone, you keep your website so easy for us to say here. So Judy, who, what, where, what are we sipping on? Because I'm going to be there, you know.
Well, good. I would want to sit with Wendell Berry, and I would want to ask him how he has found time to slow down in the busy life that he's built, because he is like the king of slowing down and paying attention in my mind. And we would probably drink, no offense to Spoiled Dog, because they are right down the road from us, but probably something from the distillery also just down the road that we could sip on a little longer while we watch the sunset over the field. That's how I would spend happy hour.
I like that. Ooh, sunset over the field. I'm digging this. There's a lot of wine. I'm starting to really think it's time to get on the road. Really? Now let's go over to the land of Sweet Mona's Chocolates. I go, and everybody's sweetmonas.com. Mona, who? What, where? Libation?
Well, I'm sorry, but one person just isn't enough. I'd say I definitely would want to spend it with Jacques Torres, and I definitely want to spend it with Warren Buffett, and we would be sitting in my shop, and we would be drinking truffle shot, and truffle shot is a European style sipping chocolate. It's a dark 71% chocolate from Ecuador, split with half and half, and it's an amazing drink, and I would drink that until I was silly. with communication with these two guys. Jacques Torres, amazing guy. I mean, on TV, pastry chef, chocolate extraordinaire, Warren Buffett, business extraordinaire, moneymaker, sees a good opportunity, takes it. I mean, there's obviously more than two I'd like to sit with, but those are the two I'd pick.
Right on. And truffle shots, that's good. I'd like to balance that. Be two-fisted, truffle shot in one hand, and then go to wine to have a Pinot after that. Like, we could do shots. Chocolate and wine.
Yeah, and our party.
Yeah.
Come and visit us. We'd be happy to do that all together. We could all meet face-to-face, and we could all drink our favorite drinks and speak about our favorite things. Like,
and somehow there'll be giggling involved. I know that. I have a feeling.
Well,
I have a feeling we're doing it wrong. That's it. Diva Linda, who are you spending happy hour with?
A woman named Erin James, and she is she editor or publisher of Cidercraft magazine. So I have a new interest in cider. So I have a 10-week cruise coming up here on our boat. And I'd like to bring her along. I'm interested in, she wrote a book called Tasting Cider. And so I was first inspired by the conversation she had at the
International Food, Wine, and Travel Conference. So she was a keynote speaker. And then I wrote a book. And did you know there are 11 categories of cider? I did not know.
No.
So I wrote to, she had, in the book, she had many. She wrote, no, she suggested 11 different wineries, not wineries, cider makers. And so my boat now is still, so I wrote to them and asked for samples. So I would like to sit with her on the top deck of my boat, and we would go in, and she could sort of mentor me through the process, just like when I became, when I was a director of a wine region. You gotta sit with somebody who knows about the product, and then you have to sip a lot until it's sort of in your head about what what sort of taste goes with what category. So that's what I would do.
Good, good. And you need to go to England, I'm just saying, for cider, too.
Oh, I know.
I grew up on cider. France.
Mm-hmm. Yes. South Africa, we used to drink a lot of cider. And then over when we went to the Channel Islands in England, they were brewing it. And I went to a festival, and they started off with giving us sloe gin and then giving us a cider. And then I had a funny walk home. That's all I'm going to say about that. But it was a lot of fun. But there are different ciders, and it's really quite fascinating. I love that you're into that. So I can't wait to hear more about what comes up in the next few weeks with you, Diva Linda, on the cider list. Ciders and pickles. Cider and pickles.
And salsa. Oh my God, I found a new pickle place in Anacortes. So now I'm running down there and buying all the pickles. I think they think I'm crazy, but I got to stock up for 10 weeks. So I don't know if you can freeze. Can you freeze it? Does anybody know? Can you freeze pickles?
You don't need to freeze them.
Already preserved. They're already they're preserved.
Yeah, so you don't need to freeze them. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. I learned something new today. So anyway, I have 10 weeks and 10 boxes of cider looking at me. Really? I mean, there's 10 boxes here sitting looking at me. So I'll be tasting and figuring out what cider's all about. Very excited.
Very cool. Very cool. And everyone, keep following Diva Linda. She's at allingoodtaste.info on Twitter at Linda Kassam as well. Everybody, again, the article featuring our rock star ladies here from Whidbey Island is up on nationalparktraveling.com. Just type in Whidbey in the search box and you'll see other articles about Whidbey as well. And we'll also be featured in the August-September issue of Parks and Travel magazine. And don't forget, Big Blend Radio airs Monday through Thursdays, 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, Fridays and Sundays at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. I want to thank you ladies for joining us. Thank you, listeners, as always. Don't forget, go to bigblendradio.com for the schedule and where to listen live or on demand. Ladies, now are you ready for your song?
Okay. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
On purpose. This is a good one. This is Unstoppable. That is the title, Unstoppable.
Oh,
and it's from another rock star. Her name is Doreen Taylor. She's a Billboard charting contemporary pop artist, and it's off of her latest album. It's called Happily Ever After, and everyone can go to DoreenTaylorMusic.com. But thank you, ladies. Have fun best of success.
Thank you.
And see you when we get there.
Thank you.
Here it is, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Here it is, Unstoppable.
When you fall, get up on your feet and dance. When you're done, get back in and give it a chance. When you're down, don't let people push you around. Yeah, you are unstoppable. If you take it day by day,
if you take it day,
you are unstoppable. Never give up on yourself. In the world, you'll never give up.
When you've given up, remember that tomorrow's another day. When you feel you're at the end, take time in what you do. Your strength will always pull you through. You are unstoppable. If you take it day by day, you are unstoppable.